The Gra wrote a sefer that came out right after he died called Pirush al Kama Agadois. Yeah. And that was a pirush that he wrote on specific agadois in the Shas. After that, they called together different svarim based on, based on the Gra in different places. But that was the first thing. And that's this sefer over here. Not to be confused with this sefer, which is very similar. Okay, but this is the sefer that Moshe Rav Kook put on the Agadis of the Shas. This is the sefer they put out on Kama Agadis, which is the sefer that we're going to be learning. And okay, now I want to just give a little bit of brief akdama to understanding the significance. Why are we learning this? The Gra Shita in Evan Shlema, he writes that the greatest soidos in the Torah were hidden by Chazal into esoteric pieces of Agadata. So you'll read a Gemara of Agadata that will say something outlandish, right? Like, the size of, like we just had a Gemara in Tainis, the entire world is like a pot cover for Gehenna. Like, what does that mean? Gehenna is big. So, how many square feet is that? Like, it starts getting a little out of hand. You don't understand what Chazal are saying. Is it literal? Is it not literal? The Gra's Shita is that every single thing that Chazal say is to be studied. It's not meant to be an exaggeration. It's not meant to be an example. It's not meant to be taken as, hey, an interesting concept. Every single word in the Chazal is bedafka. Is the lesson in there? It's being told to us and said to us for this specific reason. And Chazal are using these examples and every word in the Chazal and every number they chose. Why did they choose to say there's 300 people there? If it was an exaggeration, maybe there should be 400 people. No, this number symbolizes something. Okay. And every scenario, everything about what now. Why is that? The reason for that is because our world is not kaddish enough to handle the secrets of the Torah. But Chazal didn't want that the secrets should go lost. So they put it into the Agadatas. This way, how are you going to learn it? Only from a Rebbe. You kind of need a Rebbe to teach you what is it that it's signifying? What is the symbolism of the Chazal? You're going to have to learn it from your Rebbe. And this way, the secrets will remain as part of the Mesorah. But it's in there. There's a symbol. There's a siman, and as part of that siman, that's the lesson that Chazal, hit. So when you read a Gemara that you have a hard time understanding, you have to know right away. There's a deep thing in there. We may not get it. We may not understand it. You may need to understand. Now there was shitas on either side of this historically. There was shitas that said the Gadatas were lav dafka, and they were stuck into the Talmud just to keep things interesting. There was a philosophy like that the Maharal wrote the entire sefer Be'er HaGoyla to come lafuke that concept. No, of course not. That's not Bikarsus. The Chazon Ish was sitting with someone at a table once, and the person said at the table, "Oh, that member of Chazal, that's Lav Dafka." How did you say Lav Dafka? It's not meant to be taken. It's not, don't take it so seriously. It's not so serious. Chazon Ish says, "Take the wine off the head table. I don't want this guy touching it." This guy's not be cursed, So.
Isn't there a concept that some of these stories are meant to be taken at face value, and sometimes, like you said, there's like it's a there's a moral behind it. There's a secret behind it. It's not meant to be taken at face value.
Right, but that doesn't mean it's lav dafka. It means it's not literal. The pshat is the how you understand it. That's the pshat of this Gemara. Right, but lav dafka means they just put together a story and it's meant to keep you no, the Gra is saying maybe it's not literal, but it's bedafka. It's exactly the way Chazal meant to give you over the lesson. It was written very bedafka, right? Bedafka this word, bedafka this number, bedafka what? Not kipshutai. Like I remember a Rebbe of mine once said, he said, let's say it said that there was a country that the president, you know, signed off a document that was sent to the nuclear, you know, plant of the country, and they went and sent a bomb based on his signature, and they bombed out the city. So when one of a poetic, you know, writer came the next morning in the newspaper, and he says, a drop of the president's ink destroyed the whole country. So is that Dafka? What does he mean? Oh, really? Wow. A drop of ink destroyed the whole country. Oh, go figure out what's a drop of ink. What happened? No. The drop of ink destroyed the country because he signed the paper, and the paper was sent to the plant, and the plant and the bomb was sent. So the bomb destroyed the country, but the drop of ink destroyed the country, right? So the pshat of the statement is what it's being meramis to. That's the pshat. So really, when you're going through to Agarata, we're going to go through a lot of Agarata. We're going to have to understand each phrase. What is it telling me? Now, that's the broader Hakdama. The specific Hakdama is that there, in that little pamphlet that the Gra wrote, which is called Pirush Al Kama Agadais, I have actually a very old version of it in my house. But the few Gemaras, you know, Pirush Al Kama Agadais, the Gemara that was it's not going to be there. It's a different statement. That there's two main places that the Gra used to show the concept that Chazal put deep secrets of the Torah into Agarata. One is the Gemara in Baba Basra of the stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. The Agaratas of Rabba Bar Bar Chana that talk all about different stories that Rabba Bar Bar Chana went on boats and went flying in the air, and he saw the whole stories. We're not going to do that. But the other story is a whole Arichas in the Gemara in Bukhairis. It's a whole story in the Gemara in Bukhairis, and the story goes like this. And we're going to read the Gemara inside. It's going to be a little different than we learned last time. We're going to go read the Gemara inside, understand the story, and then get the significance of what it is. But more or less, the story starts with Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya essentially is put into a situation where he challenges the Saba de Beatuna. The Saba de Beatuna were the elders of Athens. That's the elders of Athens, of course. Athens is the capital of Greece. But at the time that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya lived, so it was the Roman Empire, but the Chachma of the Roman Empire was still the Greek philosophy. And that was the center of that place of study was in Athens. Okay. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya goes and begins a battle against the Saba de Beatuna. He begins a debate with the elders of Athens. And the way that the Gemara explains the story is with these crazy riddles. Is it these crazy riddles that they basically say, oh, who's smarter, us or you? And they ask him these crazy riddles, and he gives these answers. Now, no one really understands what in the world, right? Like the Gemara starts, we'll see it inside tomorrow or whatever. But the Gemara starts with the first conversation between the Caesar and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, which is how long does it take for a snake to give birth? What's the gestation period, that's the word, of a snake? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says 7 years. And they say, no, no, it's 3 years. Okay. What do they argue? I mean, so it's hard to understand exactly what's the machlokes. So the Gra takes out of this and he says, no. They're not arguing about snakes. The topic here of conversation is not snakes. And the reason this Gemara is so beautiful is because the way the Gra understands the Gemara is that really what they're arguing about is whose philosophy is the philosophy, is the emes? Whose philosophy is the Ratzon of Hashem in the world? Who is the chosen people? And Rishum and Hananya says our hashkaf is the emes. We're the chosen people. We represent the word of God in the world. And they come in, their challenge is, no, all your stuff is baloney. Don't, you know, come off your high chair. It's all about us. And you guys are not that special after all. And that's the fundamental argument. And, you know, all this stuff that we, you know, this is the argument that they keep on having. Rishum and Hananya and the Sabbath of Beatuna. So Rabbi Lapiansky told me one time, he went to he went to France and he was doing Kiruv there. He gave a shir to some, and Remordchai Gross came. Remordchai Gross is a big poisek, is a chassidish poisek in Yerushalayim, in Bnei Brak. Very, very. And he was asked to give a shir on the Sabbath of Beatuna. So on this sugya, so he said, this sugya, I can't give a shir on this sugya until I go to the mikvah. They have to go find him a mikvah in that place where the conference was in some suburb of Paris, you know. And you know, you can't learn this Gemara. I have to go to the mikvah first. Because in this Gemara is all so many yesoides and secrets of the Torah are hidden in over here. So I think it's really an opportunity to use this as a springboard to understand the whole Ashkafa and how we pull it out of that Garata and then see the, you know, and it makes us realize really what's so significant about Klal Yisrael and what's special about us and what our obligation are. So I think it's going to be a very exciting new undertaking. And, you know, I'll try to order this farm because they didn't come in the correct farm. But I'll try to order this farm and it's going to be good. So tomorrow we'll start, you know, the first debate, the first story, and we'll go from there. There's also...
They weren't talking about snakes at all?
No. Okay, so the question is the Gross saying that the Gemara talked about the snake to tell us what really the conversation was, or was their conversation about snakes, but really they understood each other?
That's that my wasn't question. The issue. That 3 years versus 7 years or whatever the argument was. There's no code for that. What does that mean?
Right. So let's talk about it. We've got to break it down and say, hey, you know, is it, you know, what's really the conversation? Now, by the way, there's also a book written by Rabbi Aaron Feldman called The Juggler and the King. I don't know if you've ever seen that book. There's a book called The Juggler and the King. It's published by Feldheim, probably back in the 80s. So all written a long time ago. And like 30, 40 years ago. It's written by Rabbi Aaron Feldman. At that time, you know, he was not as well known. He's the Rosh Yeshiva Yisrael today, some of the oldest Roshivas around. But he wrote this book in English. And he basically goes through the Gruz Mahalach of these Gemaras very beautifully, and he puts it out very nicely. So that's good. So I'm using that a little bit. He also wrote it in Hebrew, Pirush HaKamah Gadois. I have the Hebrew version in English. And they just put out a sefer from Moshe Shapiro on the Sabbath Beatuna. So Moshe Shapiro also, they just put out a whole Pirush. It's also based on the Gra on the Sabbath Beatuna. This is thick, the sefer. So I have that also. Well, No, it's not intended, no. Huh? No, I'll tell you. So there's a lot of material and a lot to do. And it's going to be, you know, back to the gross. I feel like this is where we started. So should be good. All right?
Hey, thanks, Rabbi. Good to be back.
Good to be back, Adam.
Thank you.
Who would believe Musar would be easier?
What?
Who would believe that Musar would be easier?
Exactly. Coach, we'll see you. When are you heading back, Coach?
I saw you. I'm here. I'm here.